This is a production of Cornell University.
Oh, you have it. Jeffrey Block? Yeah, a little bit. Breeden? Brown? Chopra? Desai?
Desai's here.
Gitlin? Adam Gitlin? Ross Gitlin? Goldberg?
Here.
Gorojani?
Yep, right here. Yeah, Gorojani, right.
Okay. Hoffman?
Here.
Kay?
Here.
Lee? Yeah. Jay Lee? Got it. Mueller? Oh. Miller? Muir? Okay. Nicoletti? Pinky? Yeah, Pinky? Raph. Rao. Gelfo. Smith. Solman. Is that how you pronounce it? Sufison. Wolford. Eutarian. That's all. Okay. That's all.
Congratulations, we have to be now the
Thank you.
Moving on to the outreach update, I would like to do outreach. $18 by 09200. happens a little bit, that, you know, there's some sort of tension between students and the police department, and that based on events that have transpired over the past couple of years, and a lack of communication, students do not feel comfortable communicating with the police, working with them in any case. And basically what we're trying to do through this entire process and with work on Jagger, with Black Students United, with UPD, is to eliminate that sentiment, to make it so that students are comfortable contacting the police and assuring them that they will never be biased against in any sort of sense when dealing with the police. So I'm going to let Sasha talk a little bit more about
Yeah, so the community or general body of Black Students United, I have been approached by the students that there is a sentiment of like distrust, not feeling safe in an environment here in Cornell. And so what we are trying to create with this resolution is a conversation between students, and create the dialogue that needs to happen so that this miscommunication or misrepresentation of both parties and how they interact with each other is resolved.
So just to clarify, this is in no way or means a shot or an attack against the UPD. I hope it's clear by having the chief as a co-sponsor. Rather, what we want to do is give them the opportunity to present the facts and prove to students that they have taken the measures necessary to make sure that incidents including violence with the police don't occur. And more than that, allowing students to give feedback to them about, you know, if they do feel like these incidents happen, why they do, and literally targeting like the exact protocols that are being used.
And audit their processes, how they respond to an event or a threat to a student,
how they avoid bias, and finally, what changes they're making based on the research they've done on this resolution. Thank you. So this is definitely something that's very important in the community. Right now, we're estimating that 90% of the businesses a week ago suffer severe damage, and an estimate is there's up to $100 million in damage in the area. And the idea behind this resolution is that this is something that the Toronto community needs to get behind. And sure, we have a tech campus and whatnot, but this is really an issue that's really hitting a lot of people. A lot of people go to Cornell, a lot of staff, smaller local community. Last year, the assembly tried to get the ability to email the entire student body, and that was something that the communications department didn't think the assembly should be, just because they were worried about what would we do with it. And so we think that, you know, by having some specific instance, a one-time deal is something that can't work to be effective in organizing people around it. Here's some questions.
So, three of us and other members of the Public Service Center have been working diligently over the last couple of days. I think mainly what this comes out of is, you know, we've been blocked. I'm sure all of you guys have seen this at least two or three times on a listserv that you're a part of, to come together and volunteer. And the reality of it is that, like, there are so many people that are trying to help. Organization is so bleak, and, like, you know, we have... People don't know what rides are, people don't know where they have to sign up, people don't know what they need to bring, people don't know what they're going to be doing there. And, like, we've had so many people contact the Public Service Center. Like, if you walk into Joyce Mugen's office right now, there will be post-its all over her table of students that walk in and be like, oh, like, I want to come, what time do I show up, what do I have to bring, et cetera, et cetera. And she just, like, writes down their net ID and is like, I'll get back to you. In reality, there's no centralized location, and, you know, we had 122 students sign up on various listservs just in the last 2 days. And this is literally just off of, you know, us blasting this out to a couple blurbs where people finally had, you know, something as simple as a Google form. You know, I don't know if the actual form was attached or not, or if it's just in the email, but it's something just simple as, what is your name? What is your net ID? What days would you like to go? Do you need a ride? If you're part of an organization, contact this person. And in less than 24 hours, that, like, our response sheet on the Google form, just blasting it out to a couple organizations, has over 120 people for this Sunday. We think that sending this out to the entire student body would really, you know, just give everyone a way to contribute in whatever way they feel. We have 8 different dates on there, at selected times, and we just feel like this is finally going to bring everything together and allow everyone an opportunity to finally give to this in an organized fashion. We're going to do that.
So, unfortunately, Tom Bruce didn't make the meeting this morning, but I mentioned it to Susan Murphy, and she just said she's aware about this resolution coming, and would look for ways for the administration to correct it.
I move to make this decision today.
Before that, can I have a point of information from the chair? So, I don't know if you could talk about this since you are kind of the assembly expert, or if you could direct it to our Vice President DR, but kind of what the protocol is for, like, in the past, how we ask the university to send out mass emails, what the process is there, and how that normally transpires.
Usually, a mass email through the Department of Assembly Resolution, you have to go through the registrar, so you have to reference this resolution. Then you email the other charge of the registrar, and you get back to either the communications department or the and then it takes a couple days to get through. That's why having the administrative support, make sure they're done first, so that you can send it out as soon as possible, and then you can see if one of them can contact the registrar to get it done sooner than 6 to 7 days. And then it will be.
Great. Thank you.
Way for Joyce from the Public Service Center to work through it. And my just a point where everything think about is that Alex Keller, remember this morning, Susan Murphy committee mentioned that this is the sort of thing that's not going to go away in a couple of weeks. And as it stands right now, there are lots of volunteers with really nowhere to go. You can only get so many people there at one time. Really, I've encouraged that I think this will make the organization of it a lot easier and a lot better for them. But on the other hand, I don't want a big email blast like this to send the message of let's help right now and have everybody forget about it in 3 weeks, like what happened in Japan, like happened in Haiti. You know, this is right in our backyard, and we're still really liable to forget about it.
So, on the organizational perspective, we can share the responses with anyone. Joyce is handling, Joyce is doing more of making sure that we all have work to do. And the reality of that is that there's work for thousands of people to do in that area. They just need to know ahead of time. If people show up on a Sunday morning without letting her know, then it's hard for her to plan for that. But if she even knows 24 hours in advance, she can find something for them to do. So that's what her main role this is. There are staffers in the Public Service Center that are going to be handling the actual communication with students. So, a couple days in advance, they'll be emailing everyone saying, here's where the bus will be meeting this Saturday, here's where the bus will leave this Sunday, be at this place at this time, this is what group you're going to be in, this is what work you're going to be doing. We're in the process of receiving a grant from the Community Partnership Board, which is my life-funded organization. Thank you, Vice President Nicoletti. And they're going to be offering us money to have transportation on a weekly basis, thanks to Vice President of PR Mode. To help us find that connection with the charter service. Alex is talking about follow-up after 4 weeks.
Three things about follow-up. First, I definitely agree that there's work to be done on this for months, if not years, so we definitely don't want to forget about it. But two things, I think the reason on the forum we listed 4 weeks when people can sign up, and it's just so that we can do that ahead of time. That's not to say that would be the end of students going there, but at a certain point it becomes impossible to plan for buses and things like 2 months in advance. So hopefully we'll continue. But second of all, talk to people who have gone and seen it, a few of them are in this room, and just about everyone that's been there comes back saying, oh my God, they need help, and they need to make sure more people go. So if you send a week, 2 weeks, we're hoping that people that go there come back and tell their friends and other organizations, we need to go back, you need to go, and so hopefully by having this blast, it'll continue to grow going forward.
I guess just a last point on that, I completely agree with the value of this, not going away for potentially years. If you talk to Joy, she's definitely stressed the importance of immediate action in the area, because the work that will remain 3 years from now, or not three months from now, will be much more of, rebuilding the area and allowing them to prosper again. The work that is going on right now is literally people starving, people in the streets without clothes, people who can't get into their houses, which is why we want this immediate push just to take care of what needs to be done immediately. And then when it gets to the point where we have to direct a different type of response, hopefully the SA and various organizations come together to tackle that.
Thank you.
if I could offer a compromise. So the email has a Google Doc as an attachment to the Google Form, and then within the Google Form there are links to other areas that like are, that contain information and whatnot, and we can always have a link to an area that, you know, indirectly, if they go to that, they will see a link to donate.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. Like, sorry, my pen is frightened to death. But for those of you who don't know, I actually went with one of the events that Mohit and Alex organized. I went through one of the bands that was organized last weekend, and I had a chance to see what was going on here and what was going on there. So I have a couple of questions about the efforts on both sides. If there's a huge outpour of response from over here, are we asking how we're going to handle that? Because I know there was a lot of confusion. I got 10 different emails, 6 of which were from the Public Service Center. It was very confusing. I knew I wanted to donate my time, but it was a little bit of a deterrent. Do they have the capacity to handle it there? I know that one of the problems was there are just communication difficulties. We were talking to the Red Cross, we were talking to the boat, and that was the hardware, or the dollar store. We went to places where we weren't necessarily assigned, whatever. Is the Public Service Center's, approach right now sustainable? Or I know we're focused on short-term action, but is it something that could easily lead to long-term action, and can it be a framework that we can use God forbid something happens in the future where we need to be active in this sort of fashion again?
About the first two, can the Public Service Center handle it, and we go handle it? I think that's why we bring this resolution, so we have one list. So instead of it going through a million different groups, people getting different information at different times trying to sign up, we can put it in one place, and as long as they know ahead of time, they can handle it. The question is the problem has been planning for people when we don't know if they're actually going to show up, and we don't know, you know, different groups give us different reports. So as long as we have the information, it can be handled on both ends. As Raniel said, they could take thousands of people over in a week, and we can take as many buses as we can get.
Okay.
As for the, is it sustainable? I think one of the important things to note is doing action now helps in the long term. So it's not one of the situations where it's like we're looking only short term. The longer it goes without being prepared, the more damage ultimately is done. So there are still houses with, you know, that are still wet, their basements, you know, that are still flooded. And the longer they sit there, the more long-term work we're going to do. So the more people we get there now, the more sustainable it is overall. And so I think it's important we get that going immediately.
Just to elaborate specifically on the day that you went, I'm guessing you went on the Sunday when the ISD paid for buses to go. Joyce has talked about that a little bit, and just the quality fears that people may have. I think the issue with that day was we didn't know how many people were coming, so we weren't able to plan in advance where people would go, and it was really like when people showed up, that was when Joyce knew like where she was going to be able to allocate people.
Fine.
Yeah, so like, I'm sorry if that wasn't the best experience, but that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. Yeah.
And then one last thing to consider is that short-term action is really important because once winter hits, really hard to get people to come out, and so we really think that a lot of the work is being done, you know, before it starts snowing.
Representative
Chopra.
Thank you.
I have father's name, but can the city, like Cornell or
Yes, and the answer is yes. So it's all being coordinated kind of at one office. One person, Jack Sullivan, we've been in contact with, and he's been sending people out in a week, and making sure it's all coordinated. And just as a quick kind of anecdote, food and water and the like, there was a miscommunication on multiple fronts, which is why it's important to be coordinated. But they thought a lot more people, they thought about 70 students were coming on Friday. And it turned out it was less than that. But the local church made meals for 70 students in preparation for them to come out in that water. So they're very much ready for people to come. They're very much able to handle it. They just need the manpower. So,
have you guys explored any other options in terms of creating more of a buzz? Because at least speaking for, I think the other freshman representatives would agree, I have not felt as if there's like a very big buzz going on around North Campus about a sense of urgency. I think the same, like just like the resolution that was passed last week for medical amnesty, I think the concept of making people very, very aware and just making them feel that there's this really huge sense of urgency is applicable to this, and I just want to know whether you guys have explored this other options in terms of, yeah.
So, twofold, I think we've tried to adopt most of the options we know, emailing kind of every group that we have that we can think of that has any philanthropy aspect to it. I think this is showing how important you and the other new representatives are in terms of you are our voice and feet on the ground on the North Campus, so please tell us how to do that better. And if there are creative ways to help with those events, let us know about them.
Just because I think that all of us are obviously somewhat involved in campus life. And I think that we're discussing this with the knowledge of what is going on, but I think we have to take into consideration that there are a lot of students who just have no idea what's going on, and that makes it difficult to get the information out there.
First, I'd just like to say that this email is a great idea. It's definitely good to bring attention to this because it's a great cause. But the bottom of the third paragraph, the email says that signing up is a commitment and shows you go before you sign up. Just, would you mind elaborating a little bit more on the Google form? Does that have more specific information regarding the exact date and time? As a freshman, last time I mentioned this. I have no way of getting there. Are you going to be, direct transportation for freshmen, like buses? I know last week there were organized buses. And then specific times, is that mentioned on the Google form?
So,
Google form, there's a list of dates that you can check off, like what days you want to go. One of the lines is what time would you like to leave and what time would you like to arrive. We're planning on having a similar setup that Vice President Gulrojani had last week with two trips a day for each Saturday and Sunday. And then we can kind of tailor those times around things that are, you know, most appealing to the people that are signing up. We do say that transportation will be provided by the Public Service Center, both in the email and in the Google form, as long as it's requested. There's a box that says, do you need a ride? You check yes or no.
Okay. So if I say that, you know, one of the options is 2 o'clock, for example, if I check off that box, will I necessarily be able to go, regardless of how many people check off that time? Like, will those times definitely be an option?
Yeah, so we have flexibility in the ride because we have, you know, the charter buses to take the big groups of people that we need to. But under the grant that we're applying for through the CPB, we also are allowed money for gas for individual cars. So we, like, if there's 51 people and we can fit 50 people in a bus, we don't have to get another bus for that one person.
Thank you.
It's basically a brand new addition to the FA. You all have been and will be putting your representatives split up into four task forces, safety, student health, communication, and violence funding. This just basically puts us into the resolutions that we created. Legislative history or institutional history for years to come. So what is going to happen is at the beginning of every month, and if we have time today, all of the task forces are going to split up into their groups. You have 15 minutes to really talk about the initiatives that you want to do for that particular month. The task force leaders will be taking notes. Adam Gitlin just sent out all the task force leaders a Google Doc to the task force leaders to say what initiatives are going to happen. The third week of every month, Adam is going to do an informal check to make sure that the task forces are going along with the initiative they plan. At the end of every month, each task force is expected to submit a one-page report. It can be less than a page about what you've done for that month to make sure that you're working on your initiative. So this just basically makes sure that we're tracking the progress, that the goals that you set from the beginning of the month are being heeded, and we can also use this as a product of the administration as well to show what we've done and what we can accomplish. That's about it.
So interesting.
process is basically I'm talking all individually about this, but we haven't actually put this in formalized writing, so I just wanted to have a base that we could check back with, and also wait for the executive board to make sure that we can work with the student assembly members and the task force leaders in any kind of systematic way, because right now, formulating it, it was kind of all over the place, so this is enabled us to do that. Also, I just want to make one small amendment change. In the section we get further resolved off, it should say at the end of each month. Or, excuse me, just there should be the second B in further resolved. Yeah, just check it. It's the exact same thing.
Okay, I'm full-heartedly committed to this. I think writer as well. And the thing about writing is it's so important, and knowing how far we've gotten out of this is so important that the residents of that family area also have a drive to get from the work of the campus. There are multiple options at Cornell Community right now. We have a whole revamped community for Cornell services. Building services also have to do the things that they can do. It's quite beautiful to have this kind of drive students back and forth. I'm sure they'll be able to get a little one at certain times. What's the deal with the strike? How do you know that this happened? Why do you not have to do it?
Yeah, so it hasn't been something that's been covered a lot in the news. It was something that I actually originally overheard a bus driver talking about, then talked to that bus driver. She told me about that. I then made sure to email this to her, Joker, who's head of residential programming, and he acknowledged that they were in negotiations right now. So it has, you know, I have confirmed some of the nature that this is occurring. But more importantly, I think it is important that, especially as the tech can be there for solve buses, this is something that residential programs should have on top. Like, there shouldn't be a plan that if the bus service is interrupted for some reason, that students can get from Skylar to campus.
And then, I was just wondering about this. There's a possibility of strike. I understand that Skylar has to kind of move, but should we as students not really look out at it also be spread bus?
Have you ever been to Skylar House? Okay. Because if you never. Okay.
What about students who ride the bus to Wegmans? They take buses to ride around. That's another one.
I mean, I think that first off, we should assess them like this is to get them to class and then from campus. But more importantly, just to kind of give an example, like where does it get significantly closer for me to go to the commons than it is to go to PCB, just in terms of distance and hill. So like it takes me about a minute to go to the commons, a minute to go to the commons, so that helps you guys probably get back. Very close to the commons, I wouldn't consider it college. In fact, not part of the college town halls, because of the fact that it's so far that they didn't want RAs to have to make a round from Catskill and Charlotteport to Skyline. So just to kind of give you guys an understanding of how far away it is. And that's also why it's the only one that provides you with a bus pass when you're not from here specifically because it's far away. So I think it's pretty clear that the administration acknowledges the geographical problems that are associated with that one.
Vice President,
I'm not going to be able to do that.
really want to stress the fact that this was not something that was brought forward to the attention of Skylar Osborne. It wasn't as if presidential programs said, hey, residents, just be aware that this may occur. What actually happened was, if I didn't overhear this on my bus, then I wouldn't have brought this forward, and chances are residential programming wouldn't have done anything about it. And so what this is doing for the second, the reason why the second clause exists is because in future years, if there is another strike, there'll be a plan. You won't have that people come to the assembly every single year, or have that been made aware of it, or there's a deal plan. I think it makes sense that if there is a strike in the future, that residential program will again provide transportation because of
flexibility in terms of the spread of a strike going forward. The collective bargaining agreement that the UAW usually signs in 3 years, this doesn't happen often because they're public employees usually. There are severe restrictions on their ability to strike. So this is a very rare thing. Money wouldn't be coming out of this office. I don't see it being a tuition. I just see this as ensuring that people can safely get home. And even if it is a tuition or the cost of living in Tyler, there's probably worth it in terms of making sure people can safely get home.
Next on the
speaker list
is
the question of
the
vice president. I was going to say something kind of similar to it, say they have say they do go on strike for the next 2 weeks and they have rent, can they just keep a copy of what they did as the rest of the call
There is that. I'm not being intimidated when there's numbers we're going to vote on what I can vote. So to vote on the vote.
Demographic, Skylar, like, there are a lot of international students in our program this year, so they have had some
takes between 30 and 40 minutes to get from Skyler walking to Central Campus, and that's something that you're not going to see in any other dorm. And I can guarantee you, like, 95% of the residents take the bus to class, which is something that no other dorm has. It's really, really important for my residents to have this ability to, you know, take the bus. So I really appreciate it, and I know they would really appreciate it if they had that opportunity.
Was this discussed or endorsed by the city committee, and was it fall into the jurisdiction of the city committee, and has it been discussed then? We're actually going to go into executive session for 5 minutes.
they really do refer to the assemblies of both the ASA and the GPS they have in the official one.
This has been a production of Cornell University. on the web at cornell.edu.